This is an interview with Giancarlo Marchioro, also known as Johnny Marchioro, recorded on the 21st of July in his home at Nailsworth, South Australia. Also present is Johnny's wife, Eleonora Marchioro. So Johnny, were you born in Australia? Can you tell me a little bit about your early years?
Yes, I was born in South Australia at Frogmore Road, Findon. But well, the hospital was at Torrensville, 17th of August 1940, where I was there for 9 years, till 19 in the market garden with my mother and father. That worked the glass houses up till 1949, and then we shifted to White Avenue, Lockleys. Then we stayed there till 1965 before getting married and shifting to Paul Wakefield Road, Bolivar.
Great. And when you were a child, the first 9 years at Frogmore Road, what, can you tell me something about the life there that you had with your family?
Well, in 1945, that I remember Dad being called up to go to the army, or they were taken to Alice, he was sent to Alice Springs because of the war. I think it was 1945. Stayed there for 44. For one year, right, before Vittorio De Fabro, the Mosaic Flooring Company, called him that they wanted men to do cement work. And so Dad come back and worked at the Adelaide Railway Station.
Uh-huh. Doing any time your mum had to cope being on by herself, innit?
Yeah, with two children, me and my brother, that was 2 years younger. We had to milk the cow the morning and night. not at the age of five, but excuse me. But when I was 7 or 8, I started milking the cow. Have our own milk and cheese and butter.
And your mum made that?
And mum made that, yes. Yeah. And I don't know what the vegetables that we grew, how we got rid of them, but we must have some friends that took them to market for us. And then Dad had 14 glass houses on the property. And then in 1947, he bought himself a new chef truck. Before that, he used to go to market with a horse and cart.
Wow.
For a few years.
And what kind of vegetables do you remember your father growing?
Tomatoes were the main vegetables. And during the summer, you had trombones, and I remember saying that they had a lot of trombones and a few potatoes, and enough money to shift to White Avenue, Lockleys, where at Frogmore Road we're renting the land. So White Avenue bought it freehold, and there we started working. Well, when I was about 15, I started working the land as well.
Can we go back to the Frogmore Road time and just talk a little bit about what you remember? Because I understand that there were a lot of Italian families
there. Yes,
there
was half a dozen Italian families around the area that, being small, used to go to school with them. Bruno Piovesan, Egidio Balestrin, Frankie Balestrin. There were Adamis not far from where we were living. And grade 1, 2 and 3 was at the Flinders Park Primary School, first 3 years of schooling. So,
and had you learned English before you went to school?
that I remember, it must have been broken English the first year, but after that, I don't remember having difficulties at school.
You would have spoken Italian at home.
At home it was always Italian,
and
yes.
And in the community that your parents belonged to?
Well, the children at my age, we all started speaking in English, so that made it a little bit easier. But for the first 4 years where I was home all the time, there was no prep or kindergarten at the time. We just, we had to speak Italian all the time. Until we went to school.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about your parents and when they came to Australia? Maybe if you started with your dad.
Yes, with my dad, he came out, he said, 1927, because his friend, he had a friend that his brother was in Australia, and his friend said, I'm going to Australia. So my dad said, oh, I'm going to come too. So I don't know, in about 6 months, he made his papers and he was on the boat as well, came to Australia. And I think he started off in Hindley Street because my auntie was in Curry Street, Weymouth Street. And then they come into the land in 1930s. I think my uncle was in the garden. And Dad come to help, and so for the until 1937, Dad wanted to get married, and letters were only written once a year, and he wrote to Italy to his sister in Italy, and said that he wanted to get married. My auntie in Italy mentioned that this young girl that was working with her, if she wanted to go to Australia, then my mother,
They got married.
Came to Australia and they got married by proxy. And they had a good
night. Mum had to go and live with his family for 6 months while she was in Italy, married.
Yeah, she got married before by proxy, but without seeing my father. And they lived together for the next 60 years.
Yeah. Mm. And the area in Italy that they came from?
Was Vicenza, or suburbs Marlo and Monte di Marlo. Yes, and Mum came out in 1938, I think it must have been. 37, 38.
And how old was she?
She was about 22, 23.
And your dad?
Dad must have been, he was born in 1906, so 1938, he was 32.
So, what happened with you?
And when they arrived, or when your mother arrived, your dad was already living on Frogmore Road?
Yes, with my uncle and auntie.
And were they in a house or...?
A tin house. Yeah. Yes. A tin house. They borrowed the money to make an extra room for my mother by the Italians that were Grottis and Bailettis that were well known in Adelaide.
They lent him the money to build an extra room for his wife.
Wow. So they lived there in that house for...
Until 1949.
So you grew up in that house?
Yes. Yeah.
So two families living...
My auntie shifted into Pearson Street, Lockleys, after a couple of years. So it must have been two. So they must have shifted.
Can you tell me a little bit about what that area looked like? You know, because the area we're talking about is Frogmore Road on the west.
Grange Road, yeah.
Grange Road on the north.
Yes.
Frogmore on the west or east?
That would go north, south.
Right.
And then there was a River Torrens at the end of Frogmore Road. There was a wooden bridge to go across that, and there was all box stones to the east. It was all rolled box stones, about 12 foot high, and we used to go have a little dirt track to go into next doors to have a night time. I can remember Mum going there after tea and talking with the ladies, because at that time Dad was in Alice Springs, and on our way walking to these houses, she'd say, "Oh, sorry about that. the moon will see Dad in a couple of hours' time," you know, she used to tell us. Oh. The same moon. Yeah, so not every night, but we used to walk over. There used to be, say, half a kilometre.
Who did you used to go and see that?
Oh, there used to be Tonelatos and Piovisons. They used to live in a tin house as well, and they'd bought a train that with all these little compartments that they had four children, three boys and a girl.
So who used to live in the train?
Oh, probably the younger ones used to live in the train until they got married.
Yeah. And in your estimation, Johnny, what size land are we talking about?
Oh, there was... Dad had 7-8 acres where we were, and then it was divided up to Findon Road, where used to be Robinson used to have a trotting track on the corner, Grange Road and Findon Road. And I think it used to be Harris Scarfs owned the property. Mm-hmm. And they leased it out to all these market gardeners in the area. They all had 10-acre lots for a long time. And then 1950, when we'd already shifted to Lockleys, it got sold to the people that were occupying that piece of land. Mm. And we missed out.
Who went to your land when your family left?
One of the boys of the Tonelada, Louis Tonelada, got married that year, so he went, shifted in into our land, and he's still living on the property.
The family?
The family, yeah. Ah. He's passed away now, but he continued market gardening until 7-8 years ago, 10 years ago. Mm. Yes. And that was a dead-end road. It was only Ashfield up to our property, and then there was just a track that went into the river. Valletta Road, that's a main road now, wasn't even there. Then, back in the 40s, it was a track, but not a proper road.
Mm. Mm. And I've seen some of the photos where the separation between the owners was with bamboos
and box stones, yes. Mm. And that was the separations, and
And Johnny, in 1950, when your family moved to Lockleys, can you tell me something about your memory of that?
Well, there I was a little bit older, so I can remember a little bit better that we shifted 14 glass houses from Findon to White Avenue. And there we had 3 acres, there was a 5-acre block, but my auntie that was had lost my uncle wanted some land too, so Dad gave let her buy 2 acres, and we had 3 acres. And then the next door, Boss Hewlin, had another 5 acres on the top next door, because that land that we were on was about a metre higher than the rest of the area, because it was taken out in the 20s when there was clean, the River Torrens was cleaned out. And so we had a metre of topsoil. So it was good for gardening right on the river. We pumped out the water out of the river with a motor for all our glass houses. And we worked until I got to 16, and then we bought, every year we bought another couple of glass houses until we had 21 glass houses on the property. And worked them, and Dad and myself at the time, we used to go to the market and sell our own vegetables.
That's the East End market?
At the East End market, yes. But then it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and come back home and start working again.
How many days in the week would you go to market?
Well, summertime, or since September till February, be 3 times a week, up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the East End market was good then, because the growers had a park outside on the road on Rundle Street and East Terrace, and the shopkeepers could buy off of you until the siren used to go. And then we'd all rush in, get our spots, and the shopkeepers come and buy off of us then. But we weren't allowed to deliver until about 6 o'clock in the morning, where the shopkeepers used to come pick up their vegetables, until they changed the law that we had to deliver the vegetables. It made it harder for us. Plus growing the vegetables, we had to deliver it to them. Mm. So it made it a bit harder.
Yeah, what was it you used to grow, Lockless?
Oh, Lockless, we had like beetroots, onions, bunched onions, because our next door neighbour had a lot of bunched onions, and we'd have to, he'd give us a lot of plants for ourselves, because at times I used to help him, Saturdays and Sundays I'd help him, so to repay me he'd give us some onion plants and for us to grow. And that was a hard job, because you had to put them in one by one. And first you had to go with a horse to make the furrows, and then we had to rake them to make it nice and fine, and then we'd plant the onion on top. And that was, then we start picking in September and pick the larger ones, and every morning you'd have to pick those of the right size and take them out onto the track with a hose and wash them one side and then the other side, and then put them on the truck and get them ready for market.
And did you group them? Bunch
put them?
Them
in fives, yeah. Mm. And then we had beetroot to do the same thing, but then beetroot was sown into the rows, and then we had to thin them out. Went down your hands and knees and thin them out.
Wow. Where did you get your seed from?
Dad used to have, at the market, there used to be Holbrooks and Son and fruit growers, but mainly the Holbrooks we used to buy off of him, because he'd come around at 3 o'clock before market start and with his little book and go around to all the growers and ask them if they wanted manure and string and all garden materials, you know. Every morning he'd be there, the old Mr. Holbrook, come along with his pencil and pad. And then after market at 8 o'clock, they'd come out and deliver, put it on your truck before you go home.
You got your seeds that way.
Yes, yeah.
And what did you grow in the glass houses then?
Well, in the glass houses, it was mainly tomatoes. Mm. We used to make our own seed by, at the end of the season, squashing our tomatoes out nice. We tried to pick the perfect ones, squash them, and with the rest of the tomato, we make sauce and make our seeds and dry it off and ready to plant in January. End of February, plant, sow it and start off again.
And what varieties do you remember?
Well, that was a Chinese variety, they used to say. It wasn't a hybrid seed because you could make it yourself. And it used to be a semi-dwarf. And it used to be a flat tomato where there used to be some crinkly ones. And they were sold at a half price, but you used to have your customers that wanted only the cheaper variety. And you knew who they were, so you'd keep them to a side for them shopkeepers. And the better shopkeepers would buy the first class tomato. Mm. And that's what we've done for a long time. And,
And 21 glass houses, that's so many.
And no tractors?
No tractors.
No, Dad didn't have a tractor at the time.
Would it be possible to describe what an average day would have been? Say, I know it would depend on what season, but maybe if you chose a busy season and describe...
Busy season, Mum and Dad and myself would have to start at 6 and finish it at 6, and not much time for stopping or anything for that, you know. But it was long hours. Mm-hmm. Well, that's without going to market. That's market days. It was 3 o'clock. And,
but you used to deliver even at the Central Market Thursday night, didn't you?
We used to deliver a bunch of stuff.
At the Central Market,
it used to be one good shopkeeper, Eddie Smith. He'd only take good vegetables, and he'd come around on a Friday morning, the week after, with a kit bag full of money, going paying all these growers. There'd be two of them, one of them with a book, writing down what you'd given him the week before, and the other one taken out, giving you the money. And that happened for I don't know how many years, but it was a long time. He used to come around and do that.
If you think about your days beginning at 6 and ending at 6, can you tell me what kinds of things you were doing in that day?
In the morning we'd always pick our vegetables first, because it'd be in the cool and you could be in the glass houses till lunchtime and pick them and get them ready for market. And after, they'd be watering or hoeing and kept going that way. And a bit of repairs to be done on, not on machinery, because there's no machineries, but on your glass houses and hoeing grass, because with no tractors you'd have to have your gutters clean, because we'd get the water out from the river, and we didn't have pipes to go into all our patches of vegetables. So there'd be, they used to call it a gutter, you know, just a big furrow, dirt furrow, and you had to keep it clean, because if it get clogged up with grass, the water wouldn't go through. So you'd have to keep that clean. And on the pump, every now and again, there used to be a long belt, about 40 foot long belt, from the top to the bottom, and that slip off at times when you're looking at the water again in your glass and you say, oh, no water. What happens? The belt's fallen off the pump, So you'd have to run down the river and put some, used to be a bit of a tar to make a stick onto the onto your motor and that. Start off again. A lot of running.
So you're very fit.
Yes.
And did you say that your mother worked with your dad? And
yes, yeah, because in the market gardening by yourself you can't do much, especially in glass houses. The ladies go quicker pruning tomatoes.
And pick beans.
And pick beans, yeah, because we planted beans, the second crop around. First we'd have tomatoes and then you put your second crop in, there'd be beans in the glasshouse, so they used to take a long time to pick. Mm. Used to be we used to have a good variety of stick bean, and that'd be nice and long, and but you have to know how to pick it fresh properly to pick them, to sell it. Your vegetables had to be picked properly to be sold at a good price.
Mm. Mm. And you continued to work, you finished school at 15, yes, and you began working with your dad and mum.
And yeah, I had a couple of jobs in between, but only I wasn't very put into it because I was always thinking about mum and dad working by themselves. And I'd done a bit of shop work for 6 months, but never put my mind to it because I was always thinking about them. And so when the time came that Dad said that to work at home, I jumped at the idea, and I know it probably wasn't the best idea, but after that we haven't had any, since after we got married, we've had a pretty good time working in the garden. So at the beginning I shouldn't have, but after that I don't find any regrets in working the land.
Why do you say that maybe you shouldn't have?
Oh, well, it would have been a lot easier to have an office job or other jobs. We worked hard in the land, but on the long run, it paid off for us.
When you were a young man, you played football.
Yes, Dad never stopped me from playing sport. At school I was captain of the cricket team and the football team at 14, 13, 14 and 15, the last year at school. And then decided to play football for West Torrens, and winning the McCullough Medal in 1957. 59 I played my first league game for West Torrens, and 63, and then it wasn't quite good enough, so played a couple of years in the country, and 65 got married, and that was the end of my football career.
How did you manage to keep football going with that very busy yes, focus in the garden?
That's why probably when I was young, I was fast, and after that, 15, when I was 19, 20, I started probably getting a little bit slower, where I should have been getting faster if I had an easier job. But in the glasses, we had to dig out a few, not all the time, but I remember digging some whole glasses with a fork, me and Dad, by hand. But the fork was the ordinary fork that in the use in the garden. Yeah, we had a
dig. How long would that take?
Oh, it'd take you 3 hours.
Two men?
Yes, yeah, because it was 112 foot long. And you had to dig all of it. It's 15 foot wide and 112 foot long. So you didn't have time to say, oh, I'm tired.
So that's half a day.
Well, you don't get up early at 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock. You'd have to, because then you'd have to level it off too. You just couldn't leave big lumps on there. And then I've the later years, we to make it drill our rows, I'd pull it with a rope, and Dad hold this little scarifier, and we'd do the rows in the glasshouses, up and down. So that'd keep you fit, but probably didn't keep your muscles for your football career properly. You know, they'd keep them strong, but not elastic as they should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was, nearly 10 years of good football career anyway, in the juniors, and a couple of years in the A grade.
So how was your week then? Like, how did you organise time?
Well, I used to slow everything down at 4 o'clock Tuesdays and Thursdays, and play Saturdays. So a little bit of the work got left for me father and mother to do extra, and for a while that's what it was, you know. Mm. A little bit, probably work a little bit harder when I wasn't at the football to make up time, because the vegetables still had to get out in the market. And at the time there was the captain, the old captain of West Shines, Bob Hank, he was in the market garden too, so he said his brothers used to do a little bit extra, so somebody has to do a bit extra when they're not there.
And did your brother work?
No, brother at the age of 10 got polio, and so for 6 months he was in hospital and sick, but he was
in isolation
there at Northfield for 3 months. But he was strong too, instead of being tied up, and he was always on the loose. And after 1 year, he was back at school, and he'd done carpentry, so he'd done, there used to be there at times we were carpentry Sutton's furniture.
He wouldn't have been able to work the garden because he had the polio.
Yes, and 3 acres, we had 3 acres, it probably wasn't enough land for 4 of us, so he did that, and he'd done a carpentry job until he got married. And he worked at the bridge on the Findon Road. There was the bridge in between Rouse Road and Findon Road. I think they must have fixed, they'd done a new bridge on 1967. He fell and broke his leg. And so his father-in-law told him to work with him at the barbecue inn in Highland Street.
Because he owned it.
Because he owned the barbecue, and he's still got his own barbecue shop down Jetty Road at the moment. Mm. Yeah, so that was the end of carpentry for my brother. Mm. Yeah.
And going back to White Avenue and the time that you were growing up there and living and working, can you tell me what it looked like?
White Avenue had from Pearson Street, or halfway up Pearson Street to the end of White Avenue, there was a row of bamboos there as well to separate different properties. On one side there was bamboos, and the other side there was lemon trees. And so all empty, no houses there. In White Avenue we had the first 49 to 55, so for 5 years we were in a tin house, Dad, big shed sort of thing.
Cement there was, floor?
Bricks, part of it, two rooms would put timber on the floor, then two kitchen, and that there was bricks laid down flat, and we lived there for 5 years, and then Dad built a new house, brick house, on the property.
He built it himself?
Yes.
As well as doing the garden?
Subcontracted. Oh. Got subcontracted, yeah, because we're still living in the tin house until it's right next door, until we pulled down the tin house and got left with the brick house that's still standing. Mm. Yeah.
And you were almost at the end of White Avenue.
Yes.
And if you think about White Avenue going south to Henley Beach Road.
Yes.
Were there many houses or was it all market gardening?
There was all market gardening there, 1949-50, yes. Not up to Henley Beach Road, but 500 metres before Henley Beach Road, there was a few houses there, but there was still market gardeners back then. They used to grow even outside tomatoes them years with the sticks.
We used to grow. There was
Kieras and Rugaris and who else was there? The Australian Yule used to have potatoes and onions on his. And then 1960, Borderstones bought a lot of land there where John Martins have got their box store now. And they had for 10 years, they had cabbages and celery and cauliflowers. And they had about 50 shopkeepers that used to come there Tuesdays and Thursdays and pick up vegetables, used to pick it at home. And all those that used to be, they used to call them hawkers at the time, because they used to go from house to house selling their vegetables with their truck covered over. And for about 10 years they sold all their vegetables there. And he wanted some of our vegetables, so we'd give it to him as well as some going to market, but a little bit went to this Borderstone, Charlie Borderstone.
And in that area, did most people grow the same kind of vegetables?
Yes, yeah.
Seasonal?
Yeah, glasshouse. But back then, a lot of them that didn't go to market used to send their tomatoes to Melbourne. So they'd pack them up and they'd have an agent that you could just put a stamp on and take it to the Mile End railway station and they'd go to Melbourne. Dad was always lucky that we always sold most of ours here at the East End Market. But a lot of growers that grew tomatoes sent them all to Melbourne because the Adelaide market wasn't big enough for all the growers that were here. And even the celery, even Findon Road, they used to grow a lot of celery, they used to send it all to Melbourne then. Now they send it to Melbourne, sends it to Adelaide.
And was it the same kind of money? If you sent it to Melbourne, or I guess you were paying extra costs?
You'd have to pay extra for cartage and new boxes and lids, and they had to be road and graded. You had to pack them as well. Where here, you just put them in the box, and as long as the box was full, the shopkeepers were happy.
Mm. And you're talking about the half cases?
Half case, the wooden half case. Used to be 24 pounds at the time. They used to call them in pound weights. It used to be 25 pounds. Those that probably wanted to sell their tomatoes more, they used to put extra. So the shopkeeper would say, that's the extra tomatoes in that box. So they knew what they were doing, you know.
And do you remember how much it would cost to sell or buy a box?
They were, in the beginning they were pounds. They were, even if you could get a pound, 24 shillings, 20, 30 shillings, that was good money then, because the empty box used to get them, used to buy the second hand from the shopkeepers, used to give them back with tuppence or shrippence. Yeah, the pound notes were then until 1967, so even beans, you used to get 30 shillings a dozen, used to be in bags, you used to weigh them up in like 10 kilo or 24 pounds, and that was good money at the time. Yeah, where now, still getting $2 a kilo, $3 a kilo for tomatoes, where it's 10 kilos, it's not too good.
Yeah.
A lot of expense have gone up now. But yes, yeah, back in the 19, like in the 40s, where Dad had 12, 14 glass houses, you could make a living with the whole family. Now you need 30 glass houses to make a living.
I remember you telling me a story about your parents, how they had made some good money when they were living at Findon, and something dramatic happened to that money. Can you tell that story?
Yes, well, Dad had made enough money to buy himself a truck, but before that, in 1945, he bought a second-hand one that was breaking down all the time, and he wanted a new truck, and he had £300, don't know where, under the bed somewhere, and my uncle was sick, so it was 1945, he used to go and see my auntie from Frogmore Road to Pearson Street, that used to be a couple of kilometres away. At night time after work, I used to go and see my auntie that had three daughters, and come home and the house was all upside down, and they said, oh, the thieves, and being small, didn't know what the thieves were. But he looked for his money and that was all gone. So that was the end. So I had to wait a bit more, longer time to buy his new truck. Yeah. Never. That's why Mum didn't like to live at Frogmore Road anymore, because of that. And the first chance that Dad got to buy his own land, he shifted.
And what would you say that you learned from your parents, Johnny?
From my parents, I've learned that they've been honest, and they've been real respected by all the Italians at Lockleys. I don't think Mum and Dad had many bad words with any of their friends. And I try to do the same, and lucky to get married in 1965.
And your parents liked your wife?
I probably did.
But you would have learned a lot about hard work too.
Yes. Hard work never bothered me. And then, because when I took off, and my dad helped me to shift the glass houses, it started off with 14, and every year we put on two until I got to 21 glass houses at Bolivar. And yes, our summertime was putting up glass houses and shifting, because they were only the side rows were only 4 foot high, and so every year we try to lift them up to at least 5-6 foot high so we could get in with a tractor proper and do easier work. When I got to Bolivar, I got myself a tractor and a rotario, and it was a little bit easier. But we still had every tomato plant that you have to put in the soil, you have to look after it every week for 3 months. And then what I found out by going to market myself and with the vegetables, that if you sold, if you had good quality, you never had any trouble selling it. And that's what I found by going to market for the last 30 years. Have your same customers and not to put rubbish down the bottom, because the next day they'd give it back. So we never did any of that.
Mm. So and quality was...
The quality, yeah.
Yeah.
And now that I've retired, I've looked at the fruit shops and they've got these flat beans. And I think to myself, jingles, I couldn't sell them if I had to sell them beans in the market myself, the way they are presented at the... Mm. At the time, well, they're not like now. But yeah, we had how many years? 65 to 905.
38 years for sure, for working.
Yeah, 38-40 years in the glasshouses.
4 years, then we slowed down, we stopped.
Mm. So you got married in 1965,
yes.
And you immediately with
66 we were started working
at Bolivar.
Yes.
So your dad helped you move the glass houses.
Yes.
And yeah. You had a new house.
Yeah, we put up a new
house. A new house with nothing on the floor, no television.
Yeah.
We were still happy. We had a new baby straight away.
Yeah. Well, that made it a little bit harder, but for the first year, we were still learning how to live by ourselves for the first year, but after that we...
Right, many months before you collected any money?
Well, when you plant stuff, you can't collect straight away. So from January, we never collected till August, because
by the time I put
the glasshouses in and put our first tomato plants in May, so it took us 5 months to put 14 glasshouses up ready for market. So I put them in and started our first tomatoes. Money was in August, but in between I was helping Dad at Lockleys, and he was paying our groceries and a bit of expenses. So then we started, we started by ourselves.
With our own. The first vegetable that we grew in Bolivar wasn't very good.
Well, we had to work hard to get the ground in proper condition, because it was new ground, but it was very clay, and we had to put in a lot of loam and fowl manure, cow manure. For the first 4 or 5 years, we put in a lot of manure.
This is into the glasshouse.
Into the glasshouse, yes.
And that was done manually?
Yes, yeah, with a wheelbarrow. And spread it out by hand. Then after that, I got a tractor to put in with a scoop and put 7-8 scoops of manure in the glasshouse. But then we still had to spread it by hand with a shovel. Me and the wife had to do it.
Mm. What had the land been used for before?
There was nothing there. It was arable land. It wasn't worked at all.
And how many acres did you buy there?
Well, Dad bought 7 acres at the beginning, but then they took 1 acre off for the highways. So we've got 2 acres. So we got left with 5. And so we worked 5 for 40 years. We worked the 5 acres, but then after we last 20 years we put some artichokes in that comes in July, August, September, and but the first years we used to plant a few cabbages, because I'd sell them at the market with my tomatoes and beans and
outside,
yeah. And then we used to have broccoli, just to keep my shopkeepers going, and zucchinis, plant zucchinis for a long time as well. And they're in season, you have to cut them every day because you had to have them the right size, because if any get left behind, they get oversized and they weren't any good. So more harder you worked and kept to the right size, the less wastage you had, and so that's where you made a bit of profit, you know. Like even with the tomatoes, we never threw one little tomato away because I always had the shopkeeper that wanted the small tomatoes and sort them out properly, and that asked how many smalls you got today. I'd say 4 or 5, and greengrocer would buy the lot. Yeah. So that was tomato growing.
And when you were at Bolivar, how long did it take you to feel like it was a going kind of business then?
6-7 years. I had to go to have everything really going to order, yes, but the first 5 years we got things going properly.
Yeah,
but well, there's always,
so it took you 6-7 years to get a really good crop out of everything.
Yeah, but you always you can never, in the land you can never have a perfect year, because there's
perfect,
always,
but still we've got better at it.
Yeah, we're getting better every year.
But that's quite a long time. A lot of work.
Yeah.
Like absolute focus on
growing,
getting things right.
Yeah,
yes.
Because I was learning, because I didn't know anything about making a garden.
Yeah.
So by then, you know, it took me 5 or 6 years to be able to help him properly.
Yes, and you had 2 children in that time.
2 children.
Yeah, and your dad sometimes helped you?
Oh, yeah, they used to come up market days to Tuesdays and Thursdays to help us to pick in the morning. They'd be there at 6 from Lockleys. They'd be there at 6 o'clock in the morning to pick tomatoes, because in the winter we wanted to finish a bit earlier. In the summertime you had to be out of the glasshouses because of the hot weather, you know. And so we'd have to have them picked by 10 o'clock, and then you'd have sorting them, getting them ready, putting them on the truck. And then you'd do a bit of watering, and then you always had beans to pick as well. And we always had beans, and they'd take twice as long as your tomatoes to pick your beans. Used to be in the morning from 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock picking beans.
It took a long time. But my father-in-law used to like picking beans.
Yeah, mum didn't, but...
your mum, but your dad did.
How old would your parents have been when you moved to Bolivar?
When we moved to Bolivar, 65, so Dad was 60. That was 60, and for how long? For 20 years?
Yeah, they used to come up all the time.
Every year for 20 years, twice a week.
I mean, the winter was only once.
Probably went once in winter time, but...
In the summer, twice a week.
Twice a week.
But they used to like it.
Picking, to and, pick the vegetables.
And when did your dad and mum finish their business at Lockleys?
Their business finished about in 1968, 70, because by himself he couldn't do the job properly, so he got rid of the last glass houses to me, so I got to 21, and that was he finished up that way. So it would have been 1970, would have been 65.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah. Working for himself. And but like you said, he's still working another 20 years coming up to Bolivar.
And did your parents sell land as they finished working the business?
Yes, they had to sell their land because at the end they didn't have enough money to continue on, and there was no pension money if they kept the land at the time. So they had to sell their land to keep going.
So they could get a pension. Otherwise, they didn't have enough to live.
And it was a wrong time, really, because after that, the land went up, skyrocketed. But at that moment, there was a going price.
And the rest of White Avenue, when did that start changing in terms of
When Dad building? Sold, the next door neighbour had already sold. He sold when we left, didn't he? He'd already 65, our next door neighbour that had 5 acres. He was the one that built all these houses. So that would have been, yeah. And then so we kept it until they were building houses. And so that's why Dad finished up selling. When they finished building all the houses on that block, they come over to Dad's. My auntie that had the 2 acres near the river, excuse me, it was all taken by the council. There was no land left for them to build, so that was all taken, but they got compensated by the council. And yeah, my cousin had a little bit of room to put 2 houses on there from 2 acres of land.
So things changed a lot in White Avenue in that last part of
65 to 70 year old houses. Because even before, even that, they were sold before.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Johnny. That's the end of this first interview. So thank you very much.
All right.